show.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, Thursday night football tonight. It's Jacksonville in Tennessee. Gardner Minshew is the rookie quarterback for the Jaguars. He had to come in to replace Nick Foles, who was lost in week one. The loss of quarterbacks this year has been a big story already 2 weeks into the season. Ben Roethlisberger out for the entire season for the Steelers. Second-year pro Mason Rudolph will take over the Steelers. He did not play at all last year. So, while not a rookie, it's his first real go-around in NFL competition. The New Orleans Saints are in an interesting position because Drew Brees is going to be out at least 6 weeks with a thumb injury. He had surgery yesterday. Sean Payton has not announced a starting quarterback yet. Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater are the quarterbacks on the Saints. He could use both in a dual quarterback situation, or at the last minute he could decide who his starter is going to be. Who knows? But there's also that situation brewing with the Giants, and this weekend they'll be in Tampa to take on the Buccaneers, and it'll be Daniel Jones getting the start as Eli Manning goes to the bench, and goes to the bench for only the second time in his long career. Back in 2017, he was benched against the Raiders for Geno Smith. It ended a start streak that a lot of Giant fans sort of held in high regard. Ben McAdoo, who is the head coach at the time, you know, really ended up getting fired for that and a number of other reasons. There was no reason to bench Eli Manning for that game. There was no reason to end the streak. I would be curious to know what Pat Shurmur would have done had this streak been still important to New York Giant fans and when the move to Daniel Jones had to be made. You would hope that he would not let that be a consideration whatsoever, that this move to make Daniel Jones the starter for the Giants, not just to see what he does, like with they had Geno Smith and then they gave the job right back to Eli. But this is actually a complete transition as Daniel Jones is going to take over the football team. Eli Manning was asked yesterday. He said he didn't like it. I don't expect him to like it. What did you think the answer was going to be when you asked it? But you need to hear it from the quarterback's mouth. He did say his piece of advice to Daniel Jones was throw it to the same guy who's wearing the same jersey as you, which is pretty sound advice. Doesn't sound very mentorish. Nevertheless, Eli Manning's career is going to be analyzed as Hall of Fame worthy. Is it? We'll talk about that next. SB Nation Radio.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is a Throwback Thursday, and the year is 1990. On this date, U.S. theaters, Goodfellas premiered, the Martin Scorsese mob drama starring Ray Liotta. Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci made the theater run. This is Groove is in the Heart, but I can't remember who did this.
D-Light.
D-Light, that's right. They actually bring it up at the end of the song, don't they? They mention something.
Yeah, and the video is at the beginning.
Too. Okay, gotcha.
But it's not during the actual song part.
Got it. God, I'm gonna have flashbacks to a lot of these songs.
This is just a fun song. Like, it made no sense for it to come out in the 90s, because I don't know if you remember the video, but the video is all retro 60s.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Kinda
God, I'm gonna have a lot of memories here.
Kind
of
look like the breaks and laughing. How they would transition.
That's right. That's right. So Eli Manning is going to the bench, as we talked about earlier. So earlier this week, and it was only, 2 days ago, maybe, we talked about the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Right? So the Mandela effect is where we all have a shared common memory, and even though that memory didn't occur, it's what they call the Mandela effect. It's named after the idea that many people remember the news that Nelson Mandela died in the 1980s. He didn't. He died in 2012. But for some reason, all of us, or not all of us, but most of us remember it happening in the 80s, and we don't know where we got that memory. Same thing with, we brought up the Sinbad movie of the 90s where he played a genie, didn't play a genie. Somehow we all think he did. It's a weird phenomenon. So I'm using that as a springboard to Eli Manning. Will Eli Manning's career have this sort of Mandela effect where, and I don't know if it's exactly good use of the term, but it's close, where we all collectively believe it was better than it actually was. Like, when it's all said and done, well, we go, man, Eli Manning, man, he did this and he did that and he threw for this. And I remember a game in which, but none of those things really happened. It's just collectively we remember some of these good moments in Eli Manning's career that we sort of mesh together into one brilliant game or one brilliant period of time.
Oh, no, I'm always going to remember the fact that he threw to David Tyree every single game of his career.
Every game where he just scrambled out of the pocket and
he was almost
avoided the rush.
Almost sacked.
Yep. Game actually, been, had game guy had his hand on his jersey.
Game would have been over for that. I mean, I know they had that was only third down, but game pretty much would have been over at that
right,
point.
Pretty much.
And yeah, I mean, but that was every single game he played.
Yeah.
All, it's like all the time.
So we have these collective memories of Eli, you know, these somewhat clutch moments for Eli that we all blend together, but statistics we might prove otherwise. So the book is now, it's not closed, right? Eli has, nah, still has an opportunity to play. He could finish this year with an injury to Daniel Jones. He could close out his year with 2 years with another team. Who
right.
knows?
I don't want to be the Debbie Downer in this situation, but the way the quarterbacks are dropping this season, Eli Manning plays again.
Oh, I agree. I would probably put money on that. Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, without a doubt. Boy, God, they're dropping like flies. So there are a number of media guys who have a vote in this or have a say in this about whether or not Eli Manning would make the Hall of Fame. It's really tricky. It's because, and I was saying this earlier this week, when I get asked about Hall of Fame, I always have to kind of preface it. Do you want to know my opinion, or do you want me to tell you what I think is going to happen based on trends that I've seen in voting in my career? And usually people go, oh, no, just tell me what you would do. And I'd say, all right, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, or I think he's a Hall of Famer. But, and I always go this caveat, but writers tend to like this, this, and this about a candidate, and I think he's going to get in anyway. I kind of feel that way about Eli Manning. I think he's going in. I think he's getting in the can, and I think he's, yep, a Hall of Famer. I just do. I just think that there's going to be enough people who say, look, you win two Super Bowls, and you win two Super Bowls in New York, you're going to go to the Hall of Fame. And it's and Eli Manning's career was not terrible and yet won two Super Bowls. It's not that. He had good years. He had good statistical years. He has some pretty good numbers. The problem is that he's not one of the quarterbacks where every single year the Giants should be a playoff team. He's had years where the Giants were terrible, and he was the quarterback through it all. He wasn't good enough to elevate the problems with the Giants to some sort of respectable record. If the Giants' defense wasn't very good and Eli didn't play all that awesome, they were a terrible, terrible football team.
I thought,
you don't say that with like Ben Roethlisberger with all 16 games under his belt.
Did you catch Ryan Clark yesterday?
I did.
I actually thought the way he put it was perfect.
Was this where he was going after? No, this was where he was going after Paul Feinbaum. But go ahead.
No, it was during that where he was going after Paul Feinbaum, where he pretty much said that, you know, like Eli Manning is not a good quarterback. He said he's not, but he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's basically, yeah, that's how I feel too, right?
You know, he's put together enough on his resume to be put in the Hall of Fame. He was telling me, he was saying that his first career interception came because he absolutely forgot about Plexico Burress. The entire team forgot about Plexico Burress, but at the same time, they didn't really have to worry about Plexico Burress because they knew that Eli couldn't get the ball to him.
Oh, that's crazy! He said
that's somebody you don't forget about. That's someone who, you know, was definitely, I mean, Plexico Burress was at the top of his game at that time.
Right? Sure.
And he said, but that was how he got his first career interception, was because the entire team forgot to cover Plexico Burress, who was wide open, but Eli couldn't get the ball to him, and Ryan Clark ended up with his first career interception.
Well, here's some statistics, and again, I'm not a huge statistic guy, but I'll bring them up anyway because I think it's relevant to this case. His regular season record is 116-116, so it's 500. So that's not an eye-popping
I also heard that was I don't know if it's a rumor, but that was one of the reasons why they decided to let him go now.
Right. Don't want to go below 500.
Don't want to go below 500.
Right. Right. But he still is. He's going to end up starting if Daniel Jones gets hurt.
So yeah.
But that's a legit point. But since they won the Super Bowl in 2012 against the Patriots, he's 46-66.
Yeah.
So the tail end of that Super Bowl championship was a very lousy record. Right. So and that's been but that's OK. One article pointed out it's Sonny Jurgensen's in the Hall of Fame. Joe Namath's in the Hall of Fame. Both of those guys have records that are below 500, too. Yeah.
And we can't put it all on Eli.
No, not at all.
The Giants organization just hasn't done anything to support Eli at all.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they had a few weapons here and there. An injury bug caught up with them a couple of times. But he hasn't had an offensive line for ever.
Another thing, too, that I think plays in his favor is his durability and this run. He's played a lot of NFL games, right? And when you play a lot of NFL games, it's like what they say about throwing the football, right? Three things can happen. Two of them are bad. When you play a lot of football games, you better be really, really good to avoid some of the pitfalls of this league in terms of bad offensive line play, bad defenses, yep. Just bad luck. You're going to lose some games where you play good. Well, you play good, but for some reason, something else out of your control took over and you lost games. That's more likely to happen the more games you play. It doesn't negate some of your faults, but it does sort of, you do accumulate losses over time. You also accumulate wins on the flip side. You also accumulate wins where you don't play particularly well, but the defense comes up big, special teams helps you out, et cetera, et cetera. So there's also that side of it. But the more games you play, the more likely that you're going to run. You just, sometimes your statistic takes a fall or whatnot.
I think the other thing that helps him out as well is the fact that he was always good to the media.
Yeah, that's another thing.
You know, that's one of those questions. If somebody asks you, like, you know, oh, is this guy a Hall of Fame player? One of the things media always weighs in, oh, how did this guy treat me in the locker room?
Especially in baseball. Baseball guys are notorious for that. Notorious for that.
I mean, I know Barry Bonds, you know, a lot of that is steroid driven, why he's not getting to the Hall of Fame, but a lot of it is because he was never good to the media.
Yep.
And the media is like, oh, I remember a time I asked you a simple question and you didn't answer.
Yep.
Or
exactly.
You gave me the middle finger or whatever it might be.
Yeah. There is a body of work that Eli has that you could break down any which way you want, right? You could say the losses are because of this, or the wins are also because of this, or whatever it is. I don't want it to be as simple as two Super Bowl titles. I just don't. But they were two Super Bowl titles that were really important at the time, right? I mean, the Patriots were an undefeated football team. They were coming off this Spygate thing that people didn't realize, you know, what it was going to be, what it was, you know, but we all had our opinions on the Patriots. If you were a fan, you thought it was no big deal. If you hated them, it was a bigger deal than Watergate, right? I mean, it was the worst thing that an NFL team has ever done in the history of the league. We over-exaggerated that because the Patriots were a polarizing team. And beating them twice, I think, has this impact that you can't overlook. I know it shouldn't matter, right? Two Super Bowls should be two Super Bowls, regardless of who your opponent is. But I do think there is this extra kick that goes in Eli's favor that they were against the Patriots, right? That they were against this juggernaut team that has all of these Super Bowl titles and all of these Super Bowl championships. But it twice in their history couldn't beat the Giants in the big game. And I think that does matter. If Eli Manning had terrible statistics, awful statistics, and only made the playoffs three times in his career and just happened to win Super Bowls where they were not a very good team but won and caught fire and won on the road and won these Super Bowls, and maybe it's different. But he had led the team to a number of playoffs. He had big. He did go to Lambeau Field twice and win games against the Packers at night in the freezing cold against both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I think those do matter. I don't want to simplify his whole career to these two Super Bowls, but in the answer to the question, that's one of the reasons why I think he's getting in. I do think it matters, and I do think it does have effect. I don't like his career record. I don't like his numbers after the second Super Bowl. I think they're terrible. You can excuse it any way you want, but he is the starting quarterback. He's got to do, you know, he's got to put up better numbers than that. But I think in the end, he's a Manning that won two Super Bowls in the city of New York. It's hard to go against that. Right or wrong, whether you agree with that or not, I think the reality is that's where it's going. That's where it's going to end up being. And a lot of it's going to be that factor. All right. Again, if you want to chime in on that, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, 800-224-2004, where you think about Eli Manning's Hall of Fame career. We're not burying his career yet. He's not officially retired, but it does feel like there is a closing of the book. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, running on empty is not just a song. It's the way some people drive. We all know that one person that always runs their vehicle low on gas. We might be married to him, or it might be us. While this might seem to drive you crazy, it could also cost you a lot of money. Even non-gearheads realize that their fuel pump has to work for the engine to run. I bet they didn't know that their fuel pump is located inside the fuel tank and uses that fuel to keep it cool. Now, when you get down to an eighth of a tank, there might be only an inch of fuel in there, and that's not enough to keep the pump cool. That means that that fuel pump runs hot, and it wears out a lot faster. Of course, replacing that pump could cost you up to $1,500. Oh, yeah. So next time you see your fuel get down to a quarter of a tank, you might think about looking for a place to fill up. So you see, running on empty really can cost you money. This is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's the new letstalkwheels.com.
At Jeep Adventure Days, you'll be ready to take on any forecast head on. And while some hide from the weather, you'll play surrounded by luxury in the Jeep Grand Cherokee. While others run away from the elements, you'll run toward them in the remarkably efficient Jeep Cherokee. While others see the weather as a foe, you'll see it as a friend in Jeep Compass, with over 70 standard and available safety and security features. And while others seek shelter, you'll find yourself right where you want to be, with nothing, not even a roof, standing between you and the weather, with the open-air freedom of Jeep Wrangler or Jeep Gladiator. Hurry in to Jeep Adventure Days for great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup. Jeep. When it rains, we shine. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Got a smile so bright, you know you could have been a candle. I'm holding you so tight, you know you could have been a handle. The way you swept me off my feet, you know you could have been a broom. And baby, it sounds so sweet, you know you could have been some perfume.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I was celebrating 1990 and the release of one of the greatest movies of all time, Goodfellas, hitting the theaters on this date 29 years ago. Prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. On Twitter, we've been talking about Eli Manning's Hall of Fame credentials. Eli has appeared in 12 playoff games with an 8-4 record. Pretty impressive until you realize his offense has scored over 24 points in only one game. Packers, 37 points in 2011. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he'll get in anyway. I think that's the feeling, right? It's yeah. not a shoe-in. It's not. It's just looking at the circumstances and saying he's getting in, but you may not think he's getting in, but you just feel like he will.
Or is this? It's a shoe-in, but he has more arguments against than any person who has ever been whoever will be elected to the Hall of Fame.
That's exactly right. Ira Miller from the Sports Exchange wrote this. He said, he has the same passer rating as Joe Flacco, and they were contemporaries. I don't think a lot of people look at Flacco as a Hall of Famer, even given his one great postseason run. A couple anonymous voters said his resume just isn't good enough. Yeah, he's a good quarterback and won two Super Bowls, but those two Super Bowl teams won more because of the defense and offense to essentially be a 500 quarterback in an era where quarterbacks have such an outsized influence on games. He's a good quarterback who was just too inconsistent to be a Hall of Famer. I think that's a very good point. Look at the way the league is with quarterbacks, right? They give all these quarterbacks every reason to be successful, right? All of the rules that are coming are to increase offense, is to give quarterbacks a bigger advantage over the defense. And yet, through it all, Eli was about a 500 quarterback, right? But again, I just think those Super Bowl victories are enough. And being a Manning doesn't hurt either. I know it sounds crazy, right? It sounds too simplistic. But it's how people think. This is a subjective thing. This isn't a computer spitting out a result, right? These are voters, and these voters are influenced by certain things. You were right, Ron, whether Eli was gracious enough in a number of times. If you're a guy that covered the NFC East and you dealt with Eli twice a year and he was gracious to you when you went into the visiting locker room or the home locker room to cover your story for the opposing team, you have an influence on that. He is a Manning. There is something about the Manning legacy that's going to carry over. The two Super Bowls against the Patriots meant a lot to a lot of people who disliked the Patriots. That does matter. He wasn't winning them against the Baltimore Ravens. He wasn't winning them against the Denver Broncos. He was winning them against a team that people don't like. And that influences them too. And again, this is not to say these are right or wrong. I'm just pointing out the observations that people have, the influences that people have, and that matters. And I think Patriot fans would agree. Beating New England is just different. It's just different in this era with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick than beating any other team from the AFC, right? I mean, Green Bay didn't get any mileage out of winning a Super Bowl against the Steelers. They just got a mileage because they're Green Bay and they won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. But the Patriots, that's a big deal. In Philadelphia, it wasn't just winning their first ever Super Bowl. It's also because they beat the Patriots. There's something about that team from New England that can skew our thinking right or wrong, and I think Eli is the beneficiary of that. Because of those two Super Bowl wins. I think the statement is accurate. He's going into the Hall of Fame, but he's not really a Hall of Famer in the likes that we think. There is a lot, and this is what I was talking about before about this Mandela effect thing. In 5 years, let's say he retires at the end of the year and we go to Canton in 5 years for his induction ceremony, are we going to remember a different Eli Manning than we're talking about today? And we are going to collectively go, oh man, he was one of the best, man. He was one of the best. He was so clutch. He was so good. Are we going to go, in 5 years, are we going to go, I don't know if this guy really should be here. This is kind of weird. Like, the more I think about it, I don't think he deserves to be here.
And I love how everyone's going to point out, you know, I mean, one of the things I'll point out is that Belichick challenged his team to make Eli throw it.
Right.
To Mario Manningham.
Right.
And everyone's going to be like, see, even Belichick, he said, make Eli throw it. I mean, that's an argument for because Eli did it, but it's an argument against because, player, your defense, you never say, hey, let's make a quarterback throw it. You know, you would never say that about Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. That, inside 2 minutes, no, we want to make sure the quarterback makes all the plays here.
Yeah, sure, right.
You know, that would never happen. You would never do that. But with Eli, I mean, that's where kind of the argument against, but still, he came in clutch at that moment.
And it's true.
On the two biggest stages he ever played on, he won.
He won. That first one is a big. Remember how many people were saying Patriots 42, Giants 7?
Oh, we thought for sure it was going to be.
Remember that?
It was like the AFC. Payback.
Yep.
For all those years where they were just getting roll stomped during the 90s.
I was doing a show in Colorado Springs at the time, and I remember we did part of the show was predictions, right? Celebrity predictions, Colorado Springs celebrities, if you will. We got everybody on the show to call in their thoughts for the Super Bowl. The ice hockey coach for Colorado College, nationally ranked hockey team. We got the Air Force coach on. We've got, television people, other radio personalities within our building. I mean, newspaper guys, anybody that had any sort of celebrity status, we were just booking them to get him on the show. And I insisted that my father come on the show as well. He's a lifelong Giants fan. And he was the only one. And I still tease him a little bit to this day. He was the only one that said, this is going to be a low scoring game. Eli Manning's going to hit Plexico Burris for the winning touchdown.
at the end of the game. And that's exactly how it played out. And I was like, my God, my father's Nostradamus. Because everybody was going 42-20. 42, like they were, because the Patriots were just this machine back then, just this scoring machine. And everyone was picking a high Super Bowl, double-digit victory for the Patriots. No problems. They're going to go 19-0. And I was blown away by it. I was blown away by the defensive, the ability of the Giants. That defense went right after Brady. But you also need Eli to do his job, too. And he did. But that defense just attacked on Tom Brady in that first Super Bowl. But I think in the end, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whenever it is, I think we're going to be still wondering about this guy's legacy and his records. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb for a throwback Thursday where we celebrate the movie Goodfellas. What is the good on the Goodfellas throwback Thursday?
The good throwback Thursday, well, it's not really a throwback, though. It's America's Got Talent. They got it right last night.
Oh, was that, go ahead.
The finale, the final episode. Sorry if you haven't watched it. Spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you one.
Spoiler alert.
I haven't even watched the episode myself. So, but I saw who the winner was.
Still don't know who it is.
I know. I'm creating the drama and suspense. And now we move on to the bad of the day. Cody Lee won.
Oh, okay, good.
And you know what? All season long, if you've watched any of his YouTube clips or you know where they post his performances on YouTube, it's really amazing.
It really is
mind blowing. At times, I feel bad for thinking this way, and I know hopefully I'm not alone in America. But there's times where I'm thinking he's faking it.
I go. I'm really amazed by that kind of talent.
Yeah.
Right, where the musical talent kicks in. Somebody who is blind, autistic, right? And then all of a sudden they get to a piano and they can play the piano instantly and sing like a dove, and it's unbelievable.
That's why I sit there sometimes like, is he just milking this?
Yeah.
You know, to get the vote, or is he just milking it with his family? Like he never, I think there was an episode. I don't remember the TV show, but I know it was David Cross was the actor. And he played a guy who had been in an accident and was somewhat, I'm not going to say brain dead, but somewhat in a vegetative state. And the show was a comedy.
Shoot Me.
Maybe it was Just Shoot Me, where he was faking it
the entire
time.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Just Shoot Me. And ever since that moment, that's been like the glass shattering moment for me. It's like, you know what? There's probably people out there who do fake it.
Yeah, true.
Just so they can mooch off their parents. They never have to get a real job. You know, he's being fed dinner every single night. He's being changed at night and whatever. And, you know, bathe. And he doesn't have to do anything.
I have a question about this. And I don't want to sound I don't want to sound cynical.
Right.
I don't want to be, but. My wife is a big Dancing with the Stars fan, right?
Yes.
And I said to her, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm getting it gets kind of ridiculous when there's somebody who's blind or deaf or whatever, and they win this thing because it's more amazing than not a normal person, that's another way to put it, but a person without that handicap doing it, right? Was he really the most talented of the finalists, or was he talented because he had this condition that made his talent shine even brighter?
See, no,
I hate using the term normal and stuff. You know what I mean? I don't like using that because it doesn't sound right.
If he didn't have his obstacles in life,
and was just, hey, I sing, you know, I just sing and play piano. I just want to do this for you. And went on stage and did that. Would he have won? Would people have gone, I was in tears. I'm breaking down. I don't know how. I'm blessed beyond words to be in your presence. Like, or is it because he had this deficiency or he had this setback that allowed his talent to shine brighter?
No, I think that's a fair question. Because honestly, I mean, we've seen a lot of, you know, on these shows, singers come and go all the time.
Right, all the time.
You know, did he get more votes? Because when it goes to America, you know, Americans, we're calling in, we're, you know, texting in or on the app or whatever, however we do it. You know, is there a part of us that kind of leans like, you know, I really got to give Dakota Lee. This is just so inspiring.
Yeah, that's right.
See,
that's right.
You know, someone who's blind, someone who has autism, like really bad. You know, because I mean, there's like a whole bunch of shades of autism, and he's got the Rain Man autism.
That's right.
Where he's a total savant when it comes to music.
Because on Dancing with the Stars a couple of years ago, they had a guy who was deaf, and I would think if you were the other contestants, you're like, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
Like he's deaf, keeping the beat in his head. Like I could go out and dance and do everything perfect, literally everything perfect, but I'm not going to make Carrie Ann cry because I had to keep the beat in my head.
Right.
Like when he does it, she's like, I can't handle this. And when I do it, it's, yeah, but you were just slightly off on the two-step just by a little. Other than that, it was perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, that makes shows a little off to
me. It's, you know, it's very true. And this season in particular was kind of weird because everyone had, like, some sort of inspirational story behind it.
That is true.
There was a comedian who had no hands.
Yep.
You know, there was the kid who played the violin. He defeated cancer and bullied.
That's amazing.
To play the violin, and he's really good.
Really good. I saw clips of him.
One of my favorites where I've caught a glimpse, especially when you go and watch it on YouTube, there's this dance group from India.
Yeah, the ones with the lights?
No,
wrong one.
That's another dance group. They're pretty cool. Like they're like children who do light shows in the dark. No, this is a dance group from India. They're literally throwing this one kid all over the place. This last one, they threw him off a balcony.
Oh, my God.
But wow. It is insane to watch. I mean, they make this one thing where it's like a human walkway, right? Where literally guys are held upside down and they put their feet and this little kid's running across the feet.
That's incredible.
I know I have to. It's hard to explain. I'm trying to get you to visualize it. But I mean, this one kid, they're literally throwing him. And he's flipping all over the place, and it's a dancing. You know, they're doing their dancing and stuff like that, which is fun. But it's the acrobatic part of this all. I was like, God, this is tailor made for Vegas. You kidding me?
Yeah.
So, but in the end of it, I think you know, America's Got Talent. He was really good. But there is that question: Would he have won without his obstacles in life?
Yeah, without his story.
So.
Right. Yeah, that's a good
The world will never know.
We'll never know. All right, so what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that fast food is stepping up their game and trying to kill off the human race.
Okay, go ahead with this one.
KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, is testing a new chicken sandwich. You know, they got blown out of the water in the first go-around with chicken sandwich game.
Right.
They are now testing a new one where they put one of their signature boneless fried chickens.
Delicious.
Between two donuts.
Ew.
That literally will just kill you, right?
Yeah, I think so. What kind of donuts? Just glaze or just
they almost look like
cake?
They almost look like the glazed Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, no. I'm out. That's no. Yikes.
I mean, I think that's gone a little too far.
That's a little too much.
Pizza Hut. This is actually, it's a real thing now. You can go to a Pizza Hut and get it. They have created a pizza. A pizza that is stuffed in a giant Cheez-It.
Okay, now that's interesting to me. What do you mean by a Cheez-It cracker?
Like, yeah. Like
and there's a pizza in it?
The Cheez-It cracker, but giant size. I mean,
giant size.
I mean, a decent-sized pizza. I don't know if you could, well, I'm not going to doubt your abilities of finishing this pizza by yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think it's recommended.
No, okay.
The Surgeon General.
I got you.
I think one could finish this pizza by themselves.
I'm all for innovation. I just in food. I kind of like some of the new menu items. I just don't get nuts on us, fast food industry.
Yeah,
don't go overboard.
Don't get cute. You don't need a donut sandwich with a piece of fried chicken in it.
listen, every sketch comedy show from Mad TV to SNL, they've all done the bit where, like, we've taken a taco and put it in a pizza and then deep fried it into a donut. And you're right. Like, they've all done that. And it, don't make that reality. Like, don't make that sort of satire, like, your goal. Right. I mean, I did eat the double down sandwich from KFC years. Remember that was the two chicken patties in between like a sauce and bacon.
Yeah.
Remember that? I did do that.
What was
one
the
time.
One where they who did it where it was like the bun was fried chicken. Was that the double down?
Yeah, I think that was the double down.
Where the bun was fried chicken and then they put like another thing of chicken in there or something.
No,
else.
No, it was two pieces of chicken and in between it was sauce and bacon. So like the sauce and the bacon was the sandwich stuff and the patties were only in America, right?
That's right.
Here we go. I just can't believe I was describing a chicken sandwich in which the chicken was the bun. Oh God! Any others that are popping up?
No, that's it so far. That's enough to kill you.
That's enough to kill you.
There's going to be more coming. You know what's going to happen. It's we're getting to that time of the year where we just get crazy.
I know. Just slow down, everybody. Slow down.
We're going to start having. We're getting to pumpkin spice time of the year.
That's right.
So who knows what kind of pumpkin spice concoction some fast food restaurant's going to come up with?
Yeah, my wife put some pumpkin spice oil in our diffuser in our kitchen. And now every time it goes off, it's like, oh, pumpkin. Oh, great. Yeah. She loves it. I'm not a huge, huge fan of it. So I got to put up with it.
That, lean more towards the apple cinnamon smell.
Me too. Me too.
Like,
all right, what is the dumb of the day? Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. The dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day. And I'm not. I wish I knew which players these were, but there were several Brooklyn Net players who are reportedly lobbying the team to sign Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm excited about that. I'm not a big Anthony fan, having covered him in Denver. I wasn't a huge fan then. I'm not a huge fan now.
I'm trying to rationalize why.
Yeah, I don't. Is it more like he's likable? They like him as a person or a friend?
And
they want him part of the team? It has nothing to do with his contributions.
No, because he doesn't offer any.
No.
Especially at this age.
Not at this age. Maybe it's just one of those. Hey, he's a likable guy. People around the league like him.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the players.
But sometimes your best friend shouldn't be on the team with you.
Just because he's your friend doesn't mean he should be getting a contract.
Right.
Right.
It's tricky because right now they can't put him on the roster because they're maxed out. Because they actually have they have 17 players that they've already invited to camp. They can only have 15 on the roster, and they have 15.
God.
They have 15 contracts already out there, but by the time the fifth game rolls around, they can add him because they can move Wilson Chandler to exemption list or some list, unable to play list. I don't know what the NBA equivalent is because Wilson Chandler is serving a 25-game suspension.
Uh-huh.
So they can bring him in. He can play 20 games with the team, and then they just have to figure out, whether or not to keep him after those 20 games when Wilson Chandler's suspension is up, or do they cut somebody else from the team?
That's true.
So
that's true.
I mean, I'm curious. I would like to see the dumpster fire that does become the Nets because, I mean, they went out and they shopped. They shopped till they dropped this past offseason.
Can't wait to see what Kevin Durant's going to look like when he's back from that injury.
Yeah,
in a year.
One of their players cannot play right now, but I don't think Carmelo Anthony is the savior.
No, I don't think so either. And if you're Anthony, don't you want to be like, well, can I be on the team when Durant's actually playing?
Exactly.
And so I can finally try to win a title? Like, I don't want to be here when you're going through the motions of waiting for Durant to get healthy.
But he can't say that because he needs to be the team player.
That's right. That's right. Great point.
You can't do that yet.
That's right.
And this way, he can be good friends with Durant because he's not stealing the ball from Durant.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because that would be a problem. All right, it is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue on a Throwback Thursday.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, and this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Celebrating 1990 on Throwback Thursday, the day Goodfellas was released, one of my favorite movies. We also, Ron, have to say goodbye to one of our favorite quarterbacks. Chad Kelly has been released by the Colts. He served a 2-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the league. He was the former Broncos quarterback that got really, really wasted at a party. And And walked into a house, sat down on the couch while the couple was still there, started mumbling like crazy, and was fended off with a vacuum cleaner. It's one of my favorite stories of the season.
Yes. Now, when you first said Chad Kelly, I'm like, why do I know that name?
How soon we may have passed on.
And at the same time, why are the Colts getting rid of quarterbacks?
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, God. Oh, Chad Kelly.
You know what? That's weird. I mean, I almost completely forgot that Andrew Luck retired.
I know. It's weird. It's weird.
So many quarterbacks have dropped since then that you sit back and go, wow, forgot. Yeah, Andrew Luck retired before the season even started.
So, yeah, we've lost Sam Darnold to mononucleosis. Yeah. We've lost Andrew Luck to retirement, Drew Brees to injury, Ben Roethlisberger to injury, Nick Foles to injury, Eli Manning to benching. I mean, I might be missing a few already off the top of my head. Who's next?
Who's the money on?
I mean, Cam Newton's hurt.
That's right. But he's still playing. So
is he going to play Sunday?
I don't know yet.
I don't know yet either.
We'll have
to wait and see.
What's the over-under of Ryan Fitzpatrick? His days are numbered, right?
Yep. I would think.
Maybe he gets one more game.
I'm thinking so. Right? I mean, golly, it's just an avalanche. It's only 2 weeks into the season.
And a quarter of the quarterbacks are done.
I know. Gosh. Drew Brees had a nice Instagram photo with his beautiful wife, Brittany. He was giving her a nice, loving compliment on her being with him during the surgery.
Yeah.
Where else was she going to be?
Did you see the cast? He's giving a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it happens to be.
Exactly.
Phil Mickelson had a quote, had a comment on it. Drew Brees.
What did he say?
Saying that you might be breaking my record for thumbs up.
Good for him. Good for Phil having a little social media fun.
Yeah, that's what he's all about nowadays.
I know, that's it. He's becoming the comedian on the PGA Tour on social media. He's doing a good job of it, too. He's a good follow. Follow us at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, but also follow Phil Mickelson because you'll laugh. He's really funny. SB Nation Radio.